The Truth News Network.
In a world where idiocracy is the new world order, it takes a strong voice to speak the truth. This is TNN,
the Truth News Network.
And your beacon of light in the tunnel of lies is Dan Newman.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Truth News Network. Today, we're getting our week started, and it's starting off with a bang and very quickly. Let me ask you this. Is some Democrat waiting for the right moment to jump in? There just doesn't seem to be the right one, the right Democrat running for president. A couple of dozen plus seem like a good number to get started. After all, when you look back at the 2016 Republican field of 18, this one looks okay in the big scheme of things. The weeding out process worked pretty well back in 2016, but it just seems there's not a surprise candidate among these Democrats that has the character and mental constitution to put distance between him or her and the field. That's what Donald Trump did in 2016. All these Democrats pretty much seem like cookie-cutter versions of each other. And they all have fallen in line with the company line, and by now we all know what that is. Promise Americans everything and give it to them free. This go-round, there certainly is no Barack Obama among this group. Don't forget, Obama picked up and carried that Democrat banner for 8 years, and he did a good job for his party. Say what you will about the former Illinois senator, but he knew how to bring people together around common causes. And he brought the Democrat Party together in what seemed to be really easy fashion for him. He was magnetic, a really good speaker, and had a smile that made most feel comfortable. Even though Obama's two-term Vice President Joe Biden is currently the favorite among these Democrats, Biden is no Barack Obama, no matter how hard he tries to make that comparison. Rank-and-file Democrats are desperate for an answer. Someone who will, for the lack of a better term, provide Democrats Obama Part 2. Who, just who could that possibly be? Who might become the Democrat Party savior? Well, Rush Limbaugh thinks Team Obama may be strategizing a Michelle Obama run for president in 2020. The conservative radio host said Barack and Michelle are so ticked off that Trump won that they want back in. Limbaugh cited Michelle's extensive never-ending book tour as a sign that the Obama's lust for power could result in the ever-vicious and vengeful former First Lady announcing her candidacy. During a spring 2019 promotional interview for her book at London's O2 Arena, Mrs. Obama sounded an awful lot like what she sounded like in 2008. Who can forget her inflated and anti-American rhetoric while she was campaigning for her husband? 11 years later, that's where we are today, she's still fixated on Barack's breaking the color barrier at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Michelle even suggested to the packed house in London that if presidents could run for a third term, Barack would have won in 2016. No matter, she says, what happened before should sustain us for the time being. Not surprisingly, Michelle didn't mention the Democratic Party's spring flavor of the month. At that time, it was Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, the candidate that Joy Behar from The View is calling the second coming of Obama. Here's what Michelle, speaking in London, was quoted as saying, according to Breitbart. Quote, I have to remind people that Barack Obama was elected twice in the U.S. That really did happen. That wasn't make-believe. The country actually did accomplish it, and half the people who voted in the last election, if they could have, they would have voted for him for a third term. We have to remember that what is happening today is true. But what happened before was also true. That should give us some solace at some level. Besides, she continued, for anyone who had any problem with Barack Obama, let's just think about what we were troubled by. There were never any indictments. After reminding her British audience of the 8 years Barack Obama was able to avoid being indicted, and of course she failed to add because of a fawning press and the color of his skin, Michelle struck at President Trump via a swipe at divorced dad. You probably haven't heard this. Recent Census Bureau child custody stats indicate that nearly 40% of all non-custodial fathers have no access to or visitation rights with their children. If Michelle Obama has her way, that number is going to grow much higher. When she was in the White House, the ex-mom in chief used to insult her husband and lecture men to be better fathers. Now she's trashing millions of divorced American men in order to attack President Trump. America under President Trump is a broken family, she said. We're a little unsettled. Sometimes you spend the weekend with divorced dad. That feels like fun, she said. But then you get sick. That's what America is going through right now. We are living with divorced dad. It doesn't seem to dawn on the Harvard law grad that if we are living with a divorced dad, President Trump, it's because mommy dearest Barack was an abusive and unfit parent. Think about it. She initiated the great divorce of 2016, which was the best thing that happened to this country. It divorced itself from Hillary Clinton. How many men does she disparage who lost their jobs and their families because of Obama's economic policies? None. How many despairing dads lost their businesses? Hundreds of thousands. Michelle followed up this veiled contempt for dads who have endured the pain of divorce with praise for London's diversity as compared to American cities. It looks as though her, quote, "For the first time in my life, I am proud of my country." Remember that? Her anti-American campaign has begun again. She said this, "I was looking out over the city, London, a beautiful city, and the thing I love about it is truly representative of true international diversity in ways that you don't see in cities mostly, and particularly even in the United States." Mrs. Obama thinks U.S. cities are not diverse enough. From her speeches and remarks about this racist country, we can conclude that Michelle thinks there are just too many white people in urban areas. In recent weeks, many have wondered why Barack Obama has not come to the aid of his former Vice President Joe Biden. On his own speaking tour in Europe, Obama told a town hall group in Germany he's worried Democratic presidential contenders are becoming too rigid and creating a circular firing squad. So let me ask you this. What do you think could trigger a Michelle run? Rush Limbaugh's not the only one who feels there's a good shot that Michelle will ultimately throw her hat into the ring. But Rush thinks certain things will have to happen before she jumps in. Here's Rush talking and says this. They will not pull the trigger and get in if they don't think it's a lock that she would win, Limbaugh said. The last thing the Obamas can afford is for Michelle to get in there and not win. One thing to keep in mind, he continued, that if Michelle does pull the trigger, whatever she pulls to get in there, the money would immediately shift to her because everybody on that side would think that Barack Obama and former Obama senior advisor Valerie Jarrett are going to be back running things, and she's going to be a figurehead stand-in. That's what they want anyway. And he continued, "There are days I think it's automatic that she's going to get in, and other days I can't explain why, but I don't. I think that they're going to be happy becoming $100 million net worth plus people and living the life, which is what leftists actually want to do," Limbaugh explained. "It's too soon to say." He finished with this, "I am convinced that the one, Barack Obama, wants back in. I think the one is sitting there seething over the dismantling of his agenda and the Trump verbal assault on it every day, but he can't run again." So, will Michelle Obama get into the 2020 presidential race? No one but Michelle can truthfully answer that question right now, today. And you know what? She did. To Oprah Winfrey.
I have to ask you this, because when everybody found out I was going to be interviewing you, this question came up, and I was like, no way, that's not going to happen. The people seriously think that you are going to run for office.
I think some people think it seriously and some people are just, you know.
Hopeful.
They're just hopeful. And that's good. Hope is good. But, that reaction.
Would you ever run for office?
No.
I have to ask it.
No.
No kind of office.
No. Look, that's one thing I don't do. I don't make stuff up. I'm not coy. I haven't proven that. I'm pretty direct. Yeah. If I were interested in it, I'd say it. I don't believe in playing games. You know, it's not something I would do. But it also speaks to the fact that people don't really understand how hard this is. And it's not something that you cavalierly just sort of ask a family to do again. Maybe because we got it wrong or we think we got it wrong. So it's like, well, now you do it. You just go back in there and do it. It's like,
you, or maybe because you got it right, people want you to go back.
Or, they feel regret about this election.
Yeah. So now you do it again. Yeah.
You're the closest thing to that, so you do it. But let me just tell America, this is hard. It's a hard job. I said it on the campaign trail. It requires a lot of sacrifice. It is a weighty thing. And it's not something that you even look to one family to take on at that level, you know, for that long of a period of time.
8 years is enough.
And 16 years would be, right? Let's just, you know, yeah. 16 years. I wouldn't do that to my kids.
Yeah.
Because what people don't understand is that you run, their lives stop at any age. I mean, the next family that comes in here, every person in that family, every child, every grandchild, their lives will be turned upside down in a way that no American really understands. And it's not for us to complain about it, mm-hmm. so you don't hear complaints, but it is a truth, an actuality, that there is a weight to it.
Yeah. So the Democratic Party mm-hmm. has not asked you to run for anything.
No.
No conversations.
I'm not having conversations, no. A conversation is like a two-way street. I don't know what they're talking about, but I'm not talking back.
You're not going to be talking back.
No.
There you heard it from her own mouth. Oprah Winfrey asked Michelle Obama if she would run. She said, absolutely not. Remember this. We're still 6 months away from the very first primary voting. 6 months is a long time in politics in one way, but not in others. She has a lot of time, and it depends on what's going to happen. And of course, nobody knows for sure what's going to happen, especially what's going to happen in the Democrat Party. Also remember this, my prediction was Kamala Harris would be the Democrat Party nominee eventually. And I still feel that way, but I'm going to put an asterisk by it. Things may change a little bit if Michelle Obama does jump into the election. Hey, something special here when we come back right after this. Our summary today is not going to be about what you just heard, what we just spoke about. Oprah or Michelle Obama or Rush Limbaugh or anything else. We're going to go to mass shootings. As a follow-up to what happened over the weekend, our story yesterday, our podcast yesterday, dealt with what happened in El Paso, but a second event happened in Dayton. We're going to take about 4 minutes of your time in our summary to do an update on our position there. Sit tight. That's just ahead when we come back at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
We don't tell you what to think, but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org. Humankind has a problem. Experts estimate 1 in 3 crashes are caused by distracted driving. But nobody listens to the people telling people to stop. What we need is a non-person drivers will actually pay attention to. Introducing Smart Dogs, the first dogs trained to train humans. Smart Dogs will be at their best when you're at your worst, stopping drivers from liking, selfieing, and whatever this is. These Smart Dogs are about to be unleashed to keep you from driving dumb.
No, Cedric.
So, when will they be available to the public? Never. Smart Dogs are not the answer. But Geico has a simple tip. Turn on Do Not Disturb While Driving mode.
This message has been brought to you by Geico.
In a world of change,
one thing remains constant.
The bedrock of truth.
Welcome to the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.
Yesterday, we brought you a story about that first shooting, the one in El Paso, in which 20 people died, 26 others were injured. And then after that, later that evening, up in the Midwest in Dayton, Ohio, and another shooter took out 9 people and injured 27 others. A couple of horrors that have happened in the United States at the hands of crazed or demented individuals. There's no doubt about that. Nobody deserves that. We've got to find ways to stop it. And you know what? without a constitutional amendment, without doing something with the Second Amendment, and you can only imagine how difficult that would be, we're not going to do away with any guns if we wanted to, and if we felt confident that would fix that problem. It would not, believe me. First of all, there are so many guns in America, and they are so necessary in spite of what emotion tells a lot of people right now. They are necessary. Why did our forefathers give us the right to bear arms? It wasn't against foreign oppressors or against other people in the United States. They had just come out of a repressive society in which their government was intruding into their lives in horrible ways, taking from them, ruling them like kings and waifs, which is exactly what those people were. They did not want their government to have unilateral power and authority to control everything, and they were afraid a government here, if allowed to garner the power that they had just left in Western Europe, would be subject to do the same thing, arming individuals who choose to carry and bear arms, should have the right to do so. And it's been affirmed over and over again by the U.S. Constitution. That law would have to be changed, or a new law would have to replace it, which means a constitutional amendment. Short of that, it's not going to change there. What we've got to do is address the reasons why these incidents like this are happening. And we mentioned yesterday in our podcast a couple of major things that weigh in. The first one is social media. Folks, we've got to call on these social media giants to do something about what they are allowing to come out on their websites. They don't need to allow group beatings of individuals or killings of individuals. We had a murder that was filmed live on Facebook in our own town a couple of years ago. Those kind of things don't do anything socially. They're not socially redeeming in any way. We can't edit them. Those are private enterprises, but they can edit themselves. We need to all call on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter to clean up their own backyards and to stop allowing these people to go out doing these crazy things and having the ability to see and hear them glamorized in social media. That's number one. Number two, our media, our mainstream media, they're not news reporters any longer. They're all individual opinion writers, columnists, editors. They don't just give us the news and then let us, with our intelligence, on our own, develop exactly what we feel like those news events are telling us and the reality of each. They give us what they want us to hear, and then they put it in their perspective. They add their opinions and their thoughts about it. And whatever they don't like, it comes out very clearly that they don't like. Whatever they do like, it comes out very clearly that they do like it. And we're seeing that right now play out with the politicization on all these network channels about the two shootings that took place over this last weekend that were horrible, where 29 people died and 4 dozen others are still injured and receiving treatment. We can't allow that to continue. And so what can we do? We can just simply stop watching, stop reading, stop listening to this. We can reach out to them and tell them the reason we're not taking your stuff and continuing to allow it to be a big part of our lives is because we don't think you're giving us anything that's of a redeeming value. You're not giving us news. You're giving us your opinion. Those two things we can do. We can pull the trigger there, folks. And we need to be very vocal about it. That's going to do it today. I am so glad that you're starting your week with us here at Truth News Network. We're plugged in. We'll bring you everything you need to hear. When we give you our opinion, we tell you this is our opinion. When we don't say it's our opinion, you can bet it's the flat news. It's the truth. That's what you get here every day at Truth News Network. Until then, you have a great day, and pray for those. Pray for all of those in those two cities, Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso. Those people are in pain. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
When madness is the norm, the truth is a radical act of courage. Remain calm. Be brave. Wait for the signs. TNN, the Truth News Network.